Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
This wonderful September 25th, 2023. Oh my gosh, can you believe it's already September? You know, this is amazing, amazing, amazing. Here we are on September the 25th, 2023, and, you know, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to stand or fall for anything. So let's keep our heads up. Let's keep our minds right. Let's continue to walk in faith and in power. And let's begin to know that we know that we know that God is alive. God is alive and well, and he's working miracles in our lives each and every day. I'm trying to work on getting on Facebook here. There's something going on with my Facebook. Let's see. Okay, so we're having some sort of technical difficulty here. So If you can, go to Instagram, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram, and I'll work on going live on Facebook right here. Now, let's see. But meanwhile, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions. That's right. You can go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions. I see that we have some callers calling in already, and we're going to have our special guest this morning. One of our guests is going to be on this morning. Let's see. I don't know why we're getting this. Let's see what we can do here with this. Yeah, we're on Instagram. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Evangelist Lady Scott, can you tell 10 more, tag 10 people and let them know that we're live on Instagram? Live on Instagram. We have a very special guest this morning. It's an animal sanctuary. It's called Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary. And it's ran by a young lady named Jasmine. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. But I won't, you know, we always do the news. You know, first of all, the weather in Southern California has been good. Yesterday it was 80 degrees. Saturday it was 80 degrees. And it's the month of September, which is, we're in fall right now. And we're getting ready for Halloween already. So for all those people who love Halloween, it's coming up. Get your candy ready for the kids and make sure the kids are safe and make sure they're getting some good candy and not bad candy. And that's all we can say about that. Let's see. I'm working on a situation here with this, and we're going to get this together. Okay, it says restart. And so what I think I'm going to do right now, hey, Shirley Allen, how are you? Shirley Allen, go out there and tell everybody that we're on Instagram. That's right. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Instagram. Tell 10 more people. Thank you guys so much. We're having a little, I don't understand where all the, we're having a just a tad of a technical difficulty this morning. And we don't normally have these type of activities. But every now and then we have some things that transpire, because when we're getting ready to talk about something positive and uplifting and good, sometimes we have some technical difficulties. This is why we were going to, at first we were going to leave Blog Talk Radio because of all the difficult things that were transpiring. But now we're having a problem with Mike Zuckerberg of Facebook. It was saying that I couldn't get in to Facebook Live. So I'm thinking about turning off the Instagram and going to the other phone to bring it on Facebook, because, you know, of course, we get a lot more people on Facebook than we get a lot of people on Instagram, too. But let's see why we're having such a difficulty here. So with that being said, I want to talk about something. And first of all, I want to bring in our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Pastor Eddie. Good morning to all our wonderful listeners. Good morning to all the co-panelists that's coming on every Monday morning at this time. The Eddie Justice Jones radio show bring you the hottest topic. So Pastor Eddie, I got all my protection on. I got my shoulder pads, my hip pads, my knee pads, my elbow pads, my helmet, my goggles, and my mouthpiece. And I'm strapped in, Pastor Jenny, because these human rights, our constitutional rights, and our civil rights, these are the most important things for us just to have these rights. So, Pastor Jenny, I'm strapped in, got my protective gear on just in case, because we're on the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio show. Thank you for having me once again.
Thank you so much for coming on. Clarence M. Allen, it's always an honor and a privilege. Let's see. We're having a – so what I'm going to do here, we're going to bring in our guests in just a few minutes. But before we do, I want to talk about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart that's been going on for a little while. This is just news. The the Screenwriters Guild of America has finally come to an agreement to somewhat settle their differences. You know, they've been on strike since May the 1st of 2023, and now it's September the 25th of 2023, and I believe that they have reached some sort of medium. They've come to some sort of agreement, and let me just share it with you. Members of the Writers Guild of America, you know, let me tell you what this is really all about. Artificial intelligence wants to take over all the writers' positions, writers and producers and different things that happen in Hollywood that we have no idea about, but we learn about these things. So that's why it's, you know, the writers have a constitutional right. They have a human right to be able to do their job and make a decent living like everybody else. Lately, a lot of those writers have been working in other odd jobs to make ends meet while they go through these trials and tribulations of coming to a union agreement. The Writers Guild of America and the major Hollywood studios on Sunday night reached a tentative deal on a new film and TV contract that would end a strike that had lasted nearly 5 months. Yes, I've seen them. I drove by and seen them out there at the studio protesting with signs, and everybody was, you know, a lot of people were there involved. And so what I'm going to do right now, if you want to call into our show and you want to listen to the show, you go to blogtalkradio.com if you want to listen to the show, just on online on your computer or your laptop. You go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. On the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions with an S. Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions with an S. Now, after you do that, you can call us. You can call into the show. The way you call in is you dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. So what I'm about to do right now is, because I'm having a lot of difficulty, everybody on Instagram right now, I apologize, but we're going to have to switch this to Facebook. So I'm getting ready to go live on Facebook on Instagram. So we're turning Instagram down, and we're going to switch over to Facebook right now. So please bear with us. And while we're doing that, Clarence M. Allen, weigh in on the Writers Guild, you know, coming to some sort of tentative agreement to stop the strike. Go right ahead, Clarence M. Allen. Please take the floor.
Well, it's good that they have come to a tentative agreement. And this writer's strike that we have all, I believe, heard and witnessed is just the tip of the spear. I believe this AI, this artificial intelligence, we've been living with it for quite some time. You know, if you've been making phone calls to like a business, a corporation, and that automated thing come on, that's part of artificial intelligence. It's here. Robotic technology is here. They are connected and intertwined with each other. And so now with this artificial intelligence, which has studied everything that we can and cannot imagine, they have studied the creativity of the human mind, how it thinks and makes movies, how it makes a comedy, commercials, you name it, sporting events, you know, has writers. So anything that has to, maybe even our literature, you know, books. How do we know that artificial and the producer or creator of AI may not just have that thing to think of books with love and education, knowledge, history, journeys, whatever it is, this AI is here. So when you look at a computer that's able to think for itself, to create for itself, maybe even have feelings. Everything that we can do, this computer technology has evolved into and can do even things that we cannot imagine. For instance, Professor Ream sent me an email on UFOs and in this video. It talks about some things that I never known, I never even imagined. And so it is with this AI machine or machines, these robots, these computers, they can create stuff where the writers and even those producers eventually, it's not just the writers, this is just a stepping stone into what the power this creativity, this product has. These movie companies, they can now eliminate paying these people.
Wow.
Save all this money and with just this machine create movies. You know, you look at I'm trying to think of that movie with Avatar in it and all that. But all these kind of things, you know, I Stephen King was a brilliant and still is a brilliant movie writer. He created some things that, you know, we go back in time, Boris Karloff, you know, mm-hmm. we even have writers of every genre, Pachetti, but this AI, they wanted to replace the human employment job work of these people with the machine. And if you just got one small machine that can do all this, man, look at the billions of dollars that they'll save, but look at all the people who will be losing their jobs, suffering. So, you know, this is a powerful thing that we have witnessed, where the people, I hope, has won with this tentative agreement, won enough where, you know, they can hold on to their job for decades, not just several years before the next, you know, contract.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Clarence. We're on Facebook Live. We were on Instagram. We're on Facebook Live right now. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. You can join us on there right now. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. And you can see me live right now on Facebook Live. We're going to get our guest in the studio in just a minute. Our guest is named Jasmine, and what she does is she runs a animal sanctuary, Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary, and they help the horses or the animal that they have there live out their last and final days. And I think it takes a special individual. And animals have rights, too. Like we have human rights, they have animal rights. And they have a right to live out their last days in comfort with good food and lots of unconditional love. So in just a few minutes, we're going to go on our first topic. And I want to read our first topic. Our first topic. Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary, horses and dogs and alpacas. Living out their final days in the animal sanctuary where they can enjoy love and be well taken care of by Jasmine and her other workers and caretakers. Let's talk about that, and let's talk about her rights. But before we do that, let's get in none other than Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, the regulator. Good morning to all of our listeners, I would say, to Talana and Dr. Granny V. And it's just a wonderful Monday. You have hit on a wonderful topic. And, of course, the genius of both you and our prophet, Clarence Allen, has nailed it, dealing with the strike and all the things that will happen and hopefully will resolve this matter for long term instead of just a short term fix. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you. Welcome, Clarence. Hey, good morning, Professor
Reams. Good morning. Good morning, Professor Reams.
Good morning, the regulator.
Amen, amen, amen. Now let's get Talana Jones in the studio. Good morning, Talana Jones. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dad. Good morning to Professor Reams. Good morning, Clarence. Shout out to my butterfly, Dr. Granny V. I love you, Auntie. And to all of our listeners, to everyone on In the Midst, God bless you. And good morning, everyone. Happy Monday.
Amen, amen. I want to shout out, yes, good morning, Talana. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good morning, Talana.
Good morning, Talana.
And so I want to say good morning to some people on Facebook Live. Good morning, Mary. How are you? Good morning. Good morning, Auntie Gloria. Auntie Gloria, see if you can get Audrey to listen to the show. Our number is 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. And have her press 1. It will put her in the queue and she can listen to the show. 646-787-8064. Without further ado, let's get our special guest in the studio now that we have our co-producers on. And hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. It's September the 25th, 2023. And, you know, normally when we come on, we have Instagram and Facebook and Blog Talk and In the Mist. But this week, we're just going to have Facebook Live and blogtalkradio.com. But we still reach thousands and thousands of people all over the United States and all around the world. So that's all that matters. And that's not including the people that we reach on Facebook Live. Please, everybody on Facebook, please tag 10 people. Tag 10 people. Let them know we're on the show. Also, good morning to you, Shirley Allen. Good morning, Shirley Allen. God bless you and Eric, you know, and bless you guys. And everybody on the show, you need a blessing. Without further ado, let's get Jasmine on. And let's get her in the studio. Good morning, Jasmine. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. I hope everyone's having a wonderful morning. And thank you so much for having us, me and Spirit to Be Free, on your radio show, Pastor Jones. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Everybody say good morning to Jasmine.
Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning,
welcome
Jasmine.
To the show.
Now,
good morning.
Thanks. Jasmine, could you tell everybody your last name, please, so we can make sure we get it right, because I want to make sure everybody hears your last name.
Yes. My name is Jasmine McCammon Rogers.
Amen.
That's my maiden name.
Okay. Jasmine McCammon Rogers, and we are so honored to have you on the show today, Jasmine. You do a very unique, special job, and I'd like for you to, you know, I have the whole bio, but I would like for you to just, off the top of your head, just tell a little bit about what you do from your bio and from your heart. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Of course. So I took over Spirit to Be Free a year and a half ago after my founder, Miss Ann Firestone, a wonderful lady, started Spirit to Be Free in 2005. And the point of the sanctuary, we're located in Awonga, so we're kind of out in the country a little. The point of the sanctuary is for the animals, mostly equestrian, but we do take in dogs and birds, for them to live out their lives. Well, the animal welfare is really what we do, because a lot of people don't have either, you know, the lack of time, money, or motivation, basically, sometimes when it comes, or physical health, when it comes to their pets or their loved ones and pets. And there comes a time and situations that animals need to go somewhere to live out their final days. And instead of them being put down, if they're still able to live out a quality of life, if someone can provide that for them, that's what we do here. We provide that care, the medical needs, the everyday feeding, making sure they have, you know, fresh water, that their behavioral instincts are natural. And we kind of basically go by, I don't know if anyone's ever heard this, but there's 5 freedoms of animals. And I kind of have brought that to Spirit after Anna's passed this last year. And that's kind of what we go from, is really, you know, making sure that they're never hungry, never thirsty, they're never in any discomfort. You know, if they have any pain or injuries, that is right then and there addressed, I guess is a good way to say that. And that they're free from, you know, any fear or distress in their final days, kind of like in hospice. If the animals need medical care, or if they're healthy and they're just older, they live out their lives on our property and get the love and affection from our volunteers and me. That's kind of a synopsis of, I guess, what we are.
Well, that's wonderful. So could you tell us all the different types of animals that you guys take care of?
Yes. So we have my oldest animal. We just lost our oldest, unfortunately, in July. But now my oldest is 36. It's a mini horse. So basically the size of a Great Dane. So we have horses, and then we have alpacas. Those alpacas are wonderful animals. And then we have dogs. We have some cats, feral cats, that we've tried to trap and fix, and then we feed them. They live out all over the property and know where to come for a safe, warm place. And then we also have a couple of birds. I think that's everyone. So a lot of equestrian and dogs and cats. And our oldest one here is 36 years old.
Wow. So now you... That's amazing. So Spirit to be Free Animal Sanctuary, is this a nonprofit organization?
Yes, sir. We are a 501(c). So we are based, Anne Firestone, our founder, she was a realtor, and she put her heart and soul in building this property for the animals. And it was her lifelong dream once she got into her 80s to find someone, you know, to do this. So it is a nonprofit. We have a board of five individuals now, and we are totally based off of volunteer work and donations. So that's the biggest thing. That's how we survive without Anne now, really.
Right. So do you exercise animals as well? You know, I mean, do they have a certain thing that they do, a routine that you do with them?
Yes.
Could you tell us about the routine that you do for the animals?
Of course. So the alpacas, a lot of people aren't familiar with alpacas, and alpacas are herd animals, so they like to be in a group of one or more. And their daily routine is they go into a nice enclosed safe stall at night, so no predators can get them. But in the morning, they like to come out, and in the hot days, if it's going to be above 70, I have to say, they love water. So we take the hose and we make a mud patch for them, and then they actually come up to you and they dance and they put their legs out and they love getting sprayed by the water. So that is one thing we do for them in the morning. And then all of our horses are in a barn at night, safe in their stalls. And every morning a couple of them are medically needed, so they have to get special routines of basically a massage on special joints to make sure they're not locked up or anything like that. So we do a nice massage, and then they get let out into our beautiful pasture on our property where they get to graze, and we have sprinklers, and then we lunge them and exercise three of them that are able to actually endure that kind of physical need, I guess to say. So they go through that, and then we have our wonderful dog walkers. They're absolutely wonderful. We have dog walkers in the morning and in the afternoon that come and take our dogs out on a walk, and all of our dogs are very elderly. So they're above 11 years old, all of our dogs, and they actually live inside the house at the sanctuary with a caretaker, and so they're free to live a normal life, and there's six of them in there.
Wow. And so, like, when you have the volunteers, because I know you have volunteers, and so the volunteers, they help you a lot with giving animals massages, love, feeding them. What all do the volunteers do?
So we have special volunteers that are used to equestrian, to horses. So we have a lot of teenagers that come out and they do grooming. We have a set of them that come out and they, so that makes sure that it's very dusty out here, so that ensures that the horses don't get any buildup, and whenever it comes to summer, that they're able to be deshedded correctly so they don't overheat. So they come and do that. I also have volunteers that come and walk our dogs, and we have a cattery with kittens right now. So they come and ensure that those kittens get that physical touch and love and just care. So we can get them adopted out into a wonderful home. And then we have volunteers that help with maintenance. That's a huge thing. We have 11 acres here, and it is a lot to keep it fire maintained. So we have some wonderful volunteers that come from ANZA local to our little town, and they help fill, you know, sandbags, trim trees, weed whack, mow the grass in the front yard, just wonderful, wonderful things that they come out and help us with maintaining this large property.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's amazing. Whenever we have a special guest such as yourself on the show, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show right now, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. And today we're talking about animal rights, because animals have rights too. I got to shout my dog out. I have a dog. His name is Blue. He's a blue-nosed pit bull, and he's a nice, good guy. And he loves to run around and have fun, and he likes his food on time. And he'll let you know if he wants to go outside, and he'll let you know if he wants to, you know, lay down or whatever he wants to do, he'll let you know. Animals have a very unique way of talking to us human beings. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if someone's in the neighborhood and they don't, you know, they'll bark, or even if it's an earthquake or something, they'll let you know what's going on. Speaking of that, do your animals let you know when they're feeling some kind of way or something's going on with them? How do they communicate with you, and how do you receive them? Like, are you kind of like a horse whisperer or animal whisperer? Go right ahead.
That's a great question, Pastor Eddie. So horses are kind of easy to read. We watch body language. They sense the person. So they feed off of your energy as well, that I've learned with horses. And with our medically needed horses, we have a lot of horses on medicine. And, yes, every morning when I open up that barn door, I say, good morning, everyone. And, you know, I make sure that everyone comes to the gate. If I see anything, you have to be very observant, I guess, in that. And they will tell you, my dogs are very, very vocal. And I say they're like humans. Like you said, with your dog, they know the time they want to eat, and they know when they need to be let out. And it's really providing that freedom to be free and their welfare of living, and making sure that they have that readily available, that they're not depending, you know, on someone just to guess, that someone's actually taking the time and caring to read their emotions. And their body language is huge as well when it comes to equestrian animals as well as dogs. And you said you had a pit bull. I have one as well. And I tell you what, my dog, he tore his knee, his muscle in his knee unexpectedly. And, you know, I couldn't tell for the first 2 days because he's so strong-minded and, you know, still ran and did everything. But at night he came up to me and, you know, he laid his head on, you know, how animals connect. And that's really what it's about, is listening to what they need and that, because they can't talk, right? So it's really important.
Excuse me for interrupting, Jazz. Mary's just on Facebook Live said, my Chihuahua is 12 years old. Hey, Mary, that's beautiful. What do you want to say about that? She just said her Chihuahua is 12 years old. Now, let's do human years and dog years. So how many years is that in human years, 12 years old?
So they say, I think whenever I first started, they said it was every year is 7 years, but now they say every year it's 4 years. So if she's 12, that would be around 48 years old.
Whoa, that's a mature, wise dog there. 12 years, 40
yes,
years.
It is.
Oh my gosh.
And I bet it gets the love and affection and care that it needs to live out those lives. You know, that kind
that's
of
true.
Life. That's amazing, Mary. Thank you.
You know, it's amazing because, like, my dog Blue, whenever he wants to play, he'll go get the ball, or, you know, he likes the basketball, he likes the tennis ball, and he'll go get the toy, and he'll come to me, and he'll actually take his nose, and he'll, like, go up on my arm, like, come on, let's go, let's play. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, and I'll be in the middle of a good movie or something, he'll come over with his ball, and he'll put it, you know, it's like, just, I want my time, too. And, you know, he's just like a kid. He's like a kid. Like, when we get on the phone, he he wants your attention, you know, like kids do. You get on the phone, they start doing things, he'll start doing little things too. So animals do have a way of communicating with us, and that's why I want to move on to this subject right here. You have a 501c3, and so if anybody wants to donate to the Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary, how would they do that, Jasmine?
So right now we have a PayPal. It's Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary. We also can take not even monetary, you know, your time is just as valuable to us as well. So mm-hmm. if anyone's looking to volunteer or to come out and to see what we're about or anything like that, you can definitely contact us through our Facebook, Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary. And follow us. We give updates on our animals and just different things with that. But your time is just as valuable. But we do have a PayPal. If anyone knows where Anza or Wonga, California is, we're right outside Temecula. About, I'd say, 18 miles. Not far, but it's beautiful out here. If you've never come out here, it's a different world, that's for sure. But we would love any volunteers that would be interested. Please just take the time to reach out to us on Facebook. That would be the best form of contact, and we look forward to meeting new people.
Now, you said you have a PayPal. Is there any information that you want to give out on the PayPal? So if somebody wants to make a donation or send some hay or send some sort of food for the dogs?
So we'll take any kind of dog food. We are completely open because we also do feral feeding dogs we try to trap because we have a bad problem out here. But our PayPal is spirit2befree@our animal sanctuary, and that email is annfirestone@spirit2befree.com, and you can type that in. And then if anyone's familiar with Temecula, Dan's Feed Store, if you just call them, we have an account, but it's a wish list. You're more than welcome to call them, and we actually can go and pick that up if you'd like to donate anything through them. That would be wonderful. And also your time. That's very valuable if anyone has any time. Really appreciate the time of the volunteers. If you just have, you know, a weed whacker or, you know, just yourself, just to come out and just to help with maintenance or loving on the animals, grooming. If you have any children that are interested in learning anything about a sanctuary and what a sanctuary does to make sure that animals live, you know, a welfare, loving, free life, please contact us. We'd be more than happy to educate anyone if anyone is interested in that.
Hey, man, thank you so much. Again, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. This morning, our special guest is Jasmine McCammon Rogers, and her organization is Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary, where she takes care of horses and dogs and alpacas and birds and cats. And she helps them to live out their final days in the animal sanctuary where they can enjoy love and be well taken care of and run around and enjoy themselves. With that being said, I'm going to open up the floor for our co-producers to ask a question or make a statement. And without further ado, let's start off with Talana Jones. Talana Jones, do you have a question or a statement for Jasmine this morning?
I just want to say God bless you for, you know, taking out the time to be with us today, and also commending you for taking care of our, we call them pet partners, because they do have good instincts. And we have Ashevsky. He's half German Shepherd, half Husky. And he's pretty cool, too. Very smart. He'll be 3 in October. So I just want to shout out Lou. And I love you. And I also want to say thank you so much. God bless you for being on our show this morning and for sharing the show with us.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And it's because of people, you know, like individuals that are dog lovers and animal lovers. Thank you so much.
Well, with that being said, I want to go right now to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Jasmine?
Yes, first let me just say thank you, Jasmine, and commend you on your work on animals. I just have a tremendous love for animals. I have 4 cats. I have 2 dogs. At times, I'm taking care of up to 5 dogs and 4 cats. But my
wow.
love for animals, they educated me a lot on how to be a better person, on how to love, and it just hurts me when I see people go out poaching and hunting and killing God's creation, you know, other than to eat. But this for sport, I despise it, you know. And then they put a trophy head on the wall and look what I did, this and that. You know, but I was looking at the news this morning, and I'm up in the state of Montana, and they acknowledged this one organization, and it talked about the animals after life and people who have more than one pet. And it said, first personally with me, 4 of my dogs in the last 6 years passed away, and each one was devastating. It was like the loss of a person, you know, that emptiness, that pain, that life that was gone. And so this organization, it not only talked about how it affects us, but it talked about how it affects those other animals. And the lady that was talking about this loss of animal life and the other pets or animals that's with them, they know. And they go through grief similar or just like we do. And she was recommending remedies to even help that animal get through that grief, like when a pet or animal pass away, just don't move their things. She say, leave them there for that animal to grieve over and to get through their, you know, hurt and pain. So I just want to commend you what you do, taking care of these animals. They're God's creation. They, you know, they treat us better than people do, than even some of our own family members. And so I just want to say thank you and commend you on all of that. So continue to do what you do. I taking your information, and I'll be making a donation soon, very soon. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And you mentioned something that is the very, very hardest part of doing this. I went to school for microbiology, and I quit my job. I had a situation that I was able to quit, and I moved to California, and I started volunteering here, and it was one of the hardest things. It tears me up a little. It's really one of the hardest things to go through is providing the love and care for these animals, and then knowing that their days are going to end. And you mentioned, you know, leaving the animal there so the partner, whoever, you know, was close to them or the group can grieve over it. And that is something we actually do practice very much so. Horses are very, very, very sensitive to the loss of a mate or of a friend, a pasture buddy, we like to call them. And working here, it's one thing I have to, thankfully, I have a very strong faith. And that has really, really guided me through the hard part of this job is losing those animals. But just knowing that we provided the utmost care that we could to their final days, in that. Thank you so much for mentioning that, because that is That's very, very, very important. And I would definitely say the hardest part of my job, and not even my job, just of my love of doing this. It's very, very hard. And thank you so much.
Wow, that was an amazing testimony from Clarence, our co-producer, and from you too, Jasmine. And I got to tell you, for a second there, just thinking about it, you know, because I've buried a few of our pets, and it does get emotional because you become attached to your pet, and you know they're you know, they know you, and you know them, and they're family. They are family. They are children, okay? And they'll, you know, they're there at the dinner table. They're there at Christmas. If something goes wrong, they'll come and sit down by you. They won't say a word, but they'll just sit there like, hey, I got your back. And, you know, they're just so loving, and you can't be like, wow. They can sense things that we can't sense. And that's the beauty of the work that you do. God has given you a big heart to take care of the animals and to give them, you know, comfort in their final days. And with that being said, let's go to Professor Reams, our real professor. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Jasmine this morning?
Both. Thank you, Pastor Jones. First of all, Jasmine, thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Animals, just like with Clarence, I've had them all around my life. I've had turtles, frogs, salamanders, fish from growing all the way up. And one running joke is that our house could be a sanctuary because we've had skunk, chipmunk, possum, raccoon, dogs, cats, dragonflies, grasshoppers, bees, the whole nine yards. And the running joke that we have is that would be great if we could get them to pay rent. That would even be better. But beyond that, because they find us and they just want to stay, and we accommodate them as much as we can. But boy, if they could pay into our PayPal account, that would be even better. Anyway, but the one thing about it is with I call my family members my four-legged babies overall, because they're going to be fighting, fussing, and they're right now outside the door, and they were fussing with each other over a meat stick. But the one thing about it is that when you have volunteers to come over, my question is, what do you do to help with that connection? Because for whatever reason, the chipmunks and I have conversations even at the university. I would actually like them to teach my classes because they seem more astute than I am overall. But that's another story. But with that, there seems to be a natural connection that people have that some people may not have with animals overall. So what do you do with volunteers that are going to be working with you but to establish that connection with them? Because I'm talking to my four-legged babies all the time. I'm talking with the animals all the time, and they get in, and I even give them dad jokes too. But some people are a little bit maybe standoffish, or they're not sure how to approach this. So do you give training of some type to help them to make that connection?
Yes. So first of all, we like to get a background on them. That's really, really, really important. See if they've ever, you know, had any pets, what they are familiar with, and what they're comfortable with, really, because it's really about comfortability. A lot of times people have never had a pet, and they don't know how to establish that connection. So first is getting the background, and then what I like to do is after we get kind of a baseness of what their comfortability is, then we do a visit of just kind of seeing the sanctuary. And I like to see what through the fences, you know, and we walk around and try to see if that person, there is a natural connection, I guess, to say, with animals and people. And not everyone has that. And that is fine. That is totally fine. But really finding what their comfortability is, and then educating them on what type of animal it is, what to look out for, because horses are extremely dangerous animals.
Yes.
They are, you know, 700 plus pounds. My minis are tiny, but, you know, a kick from even a 200-pound, 250-pound mini horse can break your skin or break a bone. So it's really about that education and that comfortability. And we do a review, and we do basically an educational focus on what animals they are interested in. And then we go from there. If they're interested in dogs, we kind of try to see what dogs meet that person. If it's an older person that can't handle a 100-pound, 90-pound dog walking, we won't, you know, do that. We'll give them our 14-year-old pug. So it's really freaking that.
So one a follow-up question is that with the horses, have you considered having Clydesdale on the property? That would be huge, I understand, but any thoughts on that?
So we had a fire. I don't know if anyone watches California Fires, but last year around this time, we had a horrible fire right across the highway from us that came up through Hemet and Mountain Center area and came over the mountains down Batista Canyon. And we actually opened up for a safe haven for animals because we were safe. The fire, we weren't, you know, evacuation or anything. And we had two Clydesdales on the property. And I tell you what,
goodness.
They are the biggest horses I've ever seen.
Yes.
They are,
you know, they're tall and imposing. And now a final question is what sort of birds do you have as well? My reason why I'm asking is that we had a parrot. My brother-in-law had a parrot, and I think he was 72 and he just passed on. But are there other birds that you have from? But we're always curious. Yes. So what birds do you have? Yeah.
So right now, currently, we have our founder, Miss Firestone. She had a love for doves, and she would you know, people who would buy doves for the white doves for weddings or for ceremonies, you know, situations like that, that they would just release them into the wild. And of course they don't live. That's where we took in, or Anne took in, we have now currently four white doves, and they are, I want to say she took them in 2008 and 2007. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty old. And they have a whole fly area room where they free fly during the day. And then they go into their little cage, or not little, but their nice little cage where they can eat and perch. And then we used to have a parrot, but we do not have that anymore. He passed away, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But he was 63.
Wow.
Birds, people don't think that, you know, birds live that long, and they really do. And they get them as pets, and then their children grow up, and then, you know, you're elderly, and you don't have the physical capability of taking care of a bird and cleaning and doing all the responsible needs. And unfortunately, they're one of the top animals that people let loose into the wild and think that they can survive. And they can't.
Wow.
And we have had geese in Elantra Park, and some geese and ducks have come up here, and they've also tried to make this their home as well. So that's what I was curious about as far as what the birds are concerned, too. So thank you. Thank you again for everything. I go back to you, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say real quick, it sounds like you have that natural, your family has that natural connection to animals because they're drawn to you. And that's a wonderful thing to have. Thank you for providing that love and time and care to those animals.
They actually even want to have a conversation, too, so I just have to listen. My goodness. As if I know what they're saying, but at least we have that connection. So thank you as well.
Wow. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I want to say good morning to First Lady Felita Wiltz. Good morning to you and Pastor Charles, First Lady Wiltz. Could everybody say good morning to First Lady Felita Wiltz? Because she just sent me 1,000 stars.
Good morning, Felita Wiltz.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
We love you. Yeah. And we still have to get some herbs from her because she sells herbs, and I've yet to call. I've been so inundated with other things, and I'm going to take out time. She said good morning, and the star is next to her name, and she sent me 1,000 stars. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Thank you. Our special guest is Jasmine McCammon Rogers, and we are so happy to have her on. I'm going to call her Jasmine, a.k.a. Dr. Jasmine, for being such a great, wonderful caretaker of the animals. It takes it, and you're getting an honorary doctorate on the show today. How about that, Jazz?
Thank you so much for having me and letting me just, you know, explain how important it is to care out the last final days of animals. Thank you so much, Pastor Eddie Jones. I really appreciate it, and it was such a blessing to meet you and your co-stars. Thank you, everyone, for your time today. I really appreciate it.
We don't want to hold you too long, but we're so glad to have you on because a lot of people don't understand and a lot of people can't comprehend that animals have rights too. And I know some people that will stand up and they will sleep on the ground and fight day and night to make sure that their animals get the rights that they deserve. And that's what I call love and passion and commitment. And animals, too, they need love and passion and commitment. And they need, you know, the same love that we require of our children and our husbands and wives and family members. The animals are a part of it, each and every part of that. So it's an honor and a pleasure beyond words to have you on this morning. Thank you for making things explanatory for those. I'm sure it did not fall on deaf ears because I've seen so many people sending different messages and saying different things, and they're very happy. And with that being said, we have a caller in the 503-747 area code. Good morning. Good morning, caller in the 503-747. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm somewhat rested.
Well, it's Linda Goldie all the way from Oregon. Everybody say good morning to Linda Goldie.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, Linda, I know you're just coming on, but we have Jasmine McCammon on, Rogers, who works with animals in an animal sanctuary, and the animals get to live out their last days there. The horses, the alpacas, the birds, the cats, and the dogs. Do you have a question or a statement for her at this time, Linda Goldie? Her name is Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine. I just think you're doing a wonderful thing, and I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Linda, so much. And thank you for being a listener and taking your time out of your day to listen to Pastor Eddie Jones and have the opportunity to hear our stories. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, Jasmine, I don't know how much longer you can stay on or if you want to continue to listen to the rest of the show or do you have to go at this time, or please let us know what's on your agenda.
I unfortunately am. It's around that 10 o'clock. I got to let the horses out of the pasture. They're an hour after, so they're starting to get a little agitated. So I am going to take the time to go ahead and do that. But thank you so much, and I will be tuning in Mondays now while I work with my headphones to listen.
Oh, thank you. Let's all give her a big hand right now. Can we give her a big hand? Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Dr. Jasmine.
Well, okay. Jasmine, do you have, before you go, and I see people putting hearts up on Facebook Live and hand claps, and thank you very much. Jasmine, do you have any closing remarks? Do you want to give out the information one more time how people can reach out and donate or give or volunteer one more time before you go?
Yes. The best way to contact us is through Facebook. Please like our page and follow. It is Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary. You can private message us as well to contact if anyone is interested in volunteering or learning education for anyone. We're open to that. And then our PayPal is Spirit to Be Free Animal Sanctuary. And the easiest way to do that is to look at the email. It's Annanne Firestone, just like the tire, at gmail.com. And you're more than welcome to come on out. Anyone, we'd love to meet you or just give us a call. If anyone's interested, please let us know. We really appreciate everything and all the time. And thank you again for all the listeners. And thank you again, Pastor Eddie Jones. Really appreciate you.
Thank you. God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. And God bless all the animals. And have a wonderful day, Jasmine. And thank you for being on the show and sharing with us today about the horses, the alpacas, the birds, the dogs, and the cats. Amen. Thank you so much. Everybody just say goodbye to Jasmine.
Thank you. God bless.
Amen.
Goodbye, Jasmine.
Until next time, Jasmine, thank you for being here.
All right. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. We just had a wonderful interview. Clarence M. Allen talked about his pets. Professor Reams talked about his pets. Talana talked about her dog, Lou. I talked about our dog, Blue. And I told you, when Blue gets a ball, he'll come over and put his hand and nose up under you and nudge you like, hey, let's play, you know, and he'll let you know. Yeah, he's a good dog. And I tell you, he just follows me all over the place. And then if he wants to go outside, he'll let you know when he wants to go outside. And he'll go out there and chase the crows and the cats and who knows what else. But, you know, our animals are a part of our lives. And today I wanted to focus on animal rights and how animals also, too, have rights. And, you know, they're a part of our family. They're an extended part of our family. They're like our kids. And, you know, and we love our kids, you know, and they can tell you things like if an earthquake is coming or if you're not feeling good or you're having a weird kind of day, they'll come and they'll let you know that, you know, what's going on. So I'm just so glad we had this topic on today. And I just like to get some feedback real quick from everybody on how you like this topic about animal rights. We'll start off with Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. How'd you feel about talking about animal rights and animal sanctuary today?
Yes. First, let me just thank you, Pastor Eddie, for bringing an important topic. Looking at this topic, it made me think, I think it was last year, you had a guy on that had a security dog that took care of dogs or something. But to bring Jasmine on with animal care, man, with me, is phenomenal. It's so important. And then for you to mention that animal has rights, and those are rights we as humanity need to respect, love, and just care for. You know, where I'm at now, out here, they have bear-proof trash cans, and so I ordered one brand new, and mm-hmm. I went out the other morning, I saw the bear claws. You can see the scratches from the bear claws trying to get in, But
wow.
These are God animals, regardless of what kind of animal it is, man. We need to respect their rights, but this is something that we need to share with people, and people need to share with their children and educate them. And, man, this is such an important subject that, I mean, endearing to me, and I hope it be endearing to many of our listeners.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Clarence. And with that being said, I want to go to Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, all the way from Oregon. How'd you feel about us, you know, animal rights and animal sanctuary where animals can go in their last days? You know, go right ahead, Linda.
Well, I think he's doing a wonderful thing, and it really resonates with me because when I was a child, animals were my friends, and I always looked after the ones that nobody else wanted, you know, the old ones, the ones that slobbered or whatever, you know. And animals are great friends.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, what did you think about us talking about animal rights and the animal sanctuary where they could go in their last days? Go right ahead, Talana. Take the floor.
I mean, it just says it's a beautiful thing to have that sanctuary for animals. I believe that they should have more sanctuaries like that, but it's sometimes very devastating because we watch out here in California,
mm-hmm.
some animals don't even make it past a year or 2 years just from
mm-hmm.
either getting ran over by a car or being lost out here in the neighborhood and people looking for their dogs. So the
mm-hmm.
fact that they have a sanctuary to keep animals safe is a blessing.
Yeah.
And
well,
I just want to also shout out my Lou also again because he's he's like a human being, almost like having a being a part of the family, Dad, like you said. So it's like
yeah.
an extended family member.
Yeah.
So
yes,
I am grateful for that sanctuary and for Miss Jasmine coming on this morning.
Yeah.
I
thank you so much. I thought it was so informative and so educational for us to learn more about animals and more about our pets and I know now that I got to spend more time doing some of the things that Blue likes to do. He likes to run and jump and all those good things. And with that being said, I want to go to our Professor Reams, who's our other animal whisperer. He said he's had all kinds of frogs and turtles. Go right ahead, Professor Reams.
Well, like I said, this topic is near and dear to my heart. Superb, Pastor Jones, always hitting that heartstring. And it also reminds us of our responsibilities and being accountable because the sanctuaries are there because it reminds us how connected we are to God and every creation that has been done. We always try to keep ourselves separate, like, oh, we're here. The civilization.
Yeah.
However, if you just look around and see how integrated we really are from the birds to the bees to the flowers, the trees, the whole nine yards, it shows that we have when we are showing love and giving love to any of God's creatures, it shows that we are in respect of what he wants us to do with them, how we need to interact with each other. And reminds us that it's not just humanity, it is our kindred spirit to be involved because there is the issue of speciesism, no different than racism overall, and that's a battle just like, and Pastor Jones, since you're dealing with civil rights, you also have a section on animal rights too, I would imagine, that it is one of these things that we can never walk away from our responsibility to this earth since we've been given the authority per God to protect it with our lives.
Amen.
So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you so much. That was amazing what you said. Praise God for whom all blessings flow. And wow, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. I want to thank again First Lady Felita Wilton, her husband, Pastor Charles, for those, she sent 1,000 stars. I'm like, wow, I never had 1,000 stars before. That's my first time. And I want to thank everybody on the show. Today on the show, we're going to talk about another very important topic. We're going to switch reels. This topic is a lot different from the animal rights topic. This is a topic that is very sensitive, and we don't want to offend anyone, but we got to talk about what's the elephant in the room, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So our second topic is some crossings on U.S.-Mexico borders still shut as cities agents confront the rise in immigrants arrivals to the United States of America. Here's my take. If you're legal, you're legal. If you're illegal, you're illegal. And that means that you're not legal. I want to read this. Felita Wilson just sent a message on Facebook Live, and she said, our dog Coco is also like a little human being. Her eyes look like a person. I spend a lot of time with her, and she understands everything. All I have to do is point, and she runs. I have taught her how to do all kinds of tricks, and even how to do them by spelling them. Wow, like S-I-T, and she sits. They're such a beautiful little creature. Amen, praise the Lord. we also spell, you know, so because Blue figures out, like, if I say the word treat, he's looking right now. We got to spell out the word treat because and people's names, because if I say a certain name, he'll go looking at the door like, oh, they're here. So, yeah, I can relate to that. Oh, that's wonderful, First Lady Felita Wilkes and Pastor Charles. And so our second topic is sensitive. A lot of people, a lot of illegal immigrants are crossing the border, and some of them are drowning in the water. They have these big, giant things in the water where they couldn't get across, and some of them are, you know, climbing over the wall, and it's dangerous, and they're running out of, the problem is out of control. And so agents are confronting, we're running out of agents. We don't have enough agents for all the confrontations that are taking place with the immigrants coming over to the United States of America without permission. And so we're going to talk about that right now, and I'm going to start off with Professor Reams. But before we start off with the professor, let's see, right here. Some crossings on U.S.-Mexico border still shut as cities' agents confront rise in immigrant arrivals. After a dip in illegal crossings that followed policy changes in May, the Biden administration is again on its heels as more asylum seekers cross the United States border from Mexico without permission. I mean, I could show you some of these pictures, but we don't have a lot of time. In Eagle Pass, with the rumors crowds of migrants, over 9,000, this is in one day, over 9,000 illegal immigrants are crossing the border, mother, father, sister, brother, children, and this is getting out of hand, and the Republican Party's upset about it, and the Democratic Party's upset because they still don't know what to do. I mean, they don't know what kind of action to take. So with that being said, this is a big problem in the United States of America right now, and I'm just thinking that this is something that we need to talk about. And with that being said, I want to go to our professor, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please take the floor. What do we do about this very passionate situation and very passionate topic about illegal immigrants coming into the United States without the right paperwork, without a green card, without anything, just, you know, coming over? Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Go right ahead.
One of the issues that we're faced with is not the rationale behind going on that's occurring within Venezuela or some of the other countries. It is how much border security do we have, because so far we've had adequate, because we've been able to deflect and the other countries have been able to take up slack where their asylum seekers overwhelm. Now, you might have heard that in just recently Venezuelans were allowed in by getting a visa in the last few weeks. Now, let's separate two. Those Venezuelans had already applied and were in the area doing the official application to get in, but they've been sitting there since last year and the year before because they're waiting on what the final ruling was for the immigration policy for the Biden administration. Okay, that's been settled, and so now those asylum folks will be brought in. Now, the ones that are climbing over and crawling under and all these other things in general, that is where the issue comes up, because it would mean that each of the cities would have to be, that's what is being talked about, is that more funding needs to go towards the police officers, towards building a stronger structure, towards policing, and it's not getting to the heart of the matter of why they're coming to the country in the first place. And one of the issues with the so if you're going to have armed guards, if you're going to do all these other things, then you're going to continue to have these clashes. And even if you come...
Professor, I apologize for interrupting you, but, you know, I've gotten a lot of, you know, I've even got some feedback on this. Like, people want to know, because they said the crime rate in America is going up really high. There's nowhere for the illegal immigrants to go. And so how do we deal with something like the crime rate going up? Illegal activities are taking place, people getting false driver's license, false Social Security cards, just using other people's identities in America. This is becoming a major, and it has been for a while, a major problem.
Yes.
How do we address those issues?
When you're addressing those issues, then that means you're dealing with ICE again. You are now having to add more personnel, more folks, to be able to just focus on that issue and then catch them as they come in. You would almost have to put in a major, major militarized force to be able to canvass every city, every person overall. Plus, you have the issue where some of the folks that are coming in are also being hired by some companies to be able to come in to do cheap labor and cheap work. Oh, so it is almost as though you would have to devote, every state would have to add in more personnel and more surveillance, as they're trying to do, to be able to get to this problem and to resolve it immediately. Otherwise, you are going to fall behind the eight ball. This is why having a government shutdown is not going to help, especially since more money needs to be put into the enforcement of ICE to get in and do the undercover work that they're doing overall. So that's where the quandary is. So it would mean that you'd have to have civilian boards. You would also have to have police boards. You would also have to be working in conjunction with the federal government and have access to the database where the FBI, the National Guard, and also the police department would be canvassing and arresting and putting a detention center the folks before they're being deported. This would be the major undertaking that would have to be done. And if there is no support of that, the states cannot do it alone. The federal government cannot do it alone, but we have to work together to make it happen. Now, do we get to a point where we deputize our citizenship and when we find out something and then we report it to police overall? That would be a way to do it, but do you really want to go there? I mean, you're going to have to if you're going to resolve the issue. But it comes down to people power, and even the employers who are employing some of the folks to come clean and provide information on where they are so that they can be rounded up, picked up, and then placed across the border. So that is what would have to happen, where the whole states would have to mobilize on ratting out the folks who are doing the illegal work, putting in detention, and then deporting them back to their country, only for them to try to come back again. Do we strengthen where the border portions of locations are, where they're crawling under? Let's understand, it's not just the border where this is happening. It's also they're being brought in through the ports, like Port of L.A. Through here,
yes.
There's also the issue where they're coming through, and you don't talk about the border in Canada where they're coming in as well. So so this is just one way that the group closest to the border is coming through, but they're also coming through with those who are wealthier to the other part. So the only thing that can be done is, one, you look at the places where the border, where they're crawling under, you have them mobilized. Number two, get as many folks as possible, including the state, including the feds, including the city, and mobilize to try and see if they can do a process of collaboration to keep the borders secured. And then the number three, funding, money to these folks for overtime, extra overtime, and whatever amount of money it is to get these folks to get paid on time to get the work done so that it minimizes those at the border, because the Biden administration is still strictly enforcing the Trump administration in immigration policy. It's just the numbers are increasing due to the economic problems that are occurring in those countries. For example, Venezuela just collapsed as far as its economy. Honduras is also having trouble. Guatemala is having a problem, but at least We form coalitions with Mexico that has stopped, and that's why you saw that decrease. So it was working. We now are going to have to get both the support from Mexico and their military side and our side together just to do more policing and also find sanctuary areas within the countries they can go to.
Wow.
So if we're serious about this, this would be what must happen in order to secure the border.
Wow.
Back to you, Pastor Jones.
Well, let's give a big hand to Professor Reams for bringing us that information.
Wow.
You know, this is a very sensitive topic. We don't hate anybody, but we must face the reality that there is an overwhelming concern of overcrowded people. And this is why people like certain people, and I'm not going to say their names, they're working on depopulating the world. They're working on depopulating people in the United States. They're saying that we're having an influx in an overcrowded situation here, and that, you know, a lot of people are upset. Irene Walters said, is this a new job opportunity? So is the government department hiring U.S. citizens for this problem? Yes, they are hiring border patrols every day. They're hiring ICE every day. They don't have enough people to fill the positions, and some people can't qualify to do the position. So, yes, Irene, if you have the proper ID, Social Security card, and whatever other information, they put you through an extensive training program. They put you in a extensive training program. They teach you everything you need to know about it, and then they get you out there in the field, and you will get lots of overtime, and you will make lots of money. But with the, our subject right now is a lot of illegal immigrants. Now, I said this earlier. I'm going to say it again. If you're legal, you're legal. I'm cool if you're legal. If you got your green card, your paperwork is in order, and you're doing the right thing, okay, good. Because if we were to go to any other country and you don't have your paperwork, guess what? They're gonna put you in jail. I mean, they'll let you stay for a while, but when it's time for you to go, if you don't have your paperwork in order, guess what? You're getting kicked out the country. Or you're going to be incarcerated.
Pastor Jones?
Yes.
So, Pastor Jones, may I add, and let's also make a distinction. This is different. What we're talking about now is different from asylum seekers who have already been approved to come into the country. So don't get those. So we don't want everyone to get mixed up that the asylum folks that is legal are legally here because they have filled out the paperwork. But the other thing, the fourth item is that we can still increase the funding to these companies that we normally give, like Venezuela and some of the others, in order to stabilize their countries and make it attractive for the immigrants to go back to their countries as well. It's just this,
right.
And that was the major thing that we're catching up on funds, but every time we look at trying to do that, it's blocked by the other party. And so we give as much aid as we could, which we used to do. And even before then, when we didn't have the agri-farmers and agri-businesses like Dole and the sugar business that destabilized them in the first place, which led to the drug trade. So if we can stabilize them, then that's the real problem that we're dealing with, not victimizing the folks that are just trying to survive. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Well, before you yield back, Irene Walters said, why is there a shortage in Border Patrol? I'm going to allow Professor Reams to answer that question, but I can tell you right now there is a shortage because there's so many openings that they're using to get over. Matter of fact, I just saw a video on YouTube where they have created these ladders, you know, those ladders like you use out of a helicopter or airplane, and they climb up. They have one of them climb up to the top and throw that ladder over, and they all go take that ladder one at a time and come over the border, over that really tall. It's dangerous for the kids and everybody, but they're doing it. And some of them have fell to their death. But they will do whatever it takes to get into America to do whatever they want to do or whatever they're going to do. And I'm not talking about legal immigrants. I'm talking about illegal immigrants. And I'm not – we don't hate anybody. This is a civil rights topic. This is a civil rights subject matter. This is a human rights subject matter. Irene also said, that was my other question, why is there a shortage? Okay, Professor Ames, please take the floor. Share why there's a shortage of Border Patrol agents and ICE agents. Go right ahead.
Well, the reason is that it's become very unattractive because of the tactics that were identified in the news because they were talking about ISIS agents, which were committing civil rights against the immigrants or illegal immigrants, whatever you're going to call them, and that this has dissuaded folks that every time that they did do something, that they were going to be reprimanded for ill treatment every single time. So it's almost like our police force, where it's trying to screen out the quality folks, quality no different than screening for a police department, that are not going to use heavy-handed tactics because they can, but they're going to police and do what they need to do to protect the location. So it's more of a personality thing, but also the fear of retribution and pushback from those who are caught or identified as having been accused of abusing or hurting as they're doing their job. So that's been the biggest thing overall. No different than our own policing. I go back to you, Pastor Jones.
Thank you so very much. Irene, I hope that was a good response, and I think it was an excellent response. Cousin V said, hey, Cousin V, how are you? Cousin V said, if you have your paperwork, they hire healthcare workers to process them through also. So if you come over illegally and you get your paperwork going and you want to go get a job, you can. They're not saying you can't get a job. But if you come over illegally and you get a false ID identification, you steal somebody's ID, and you got a Social Security card under somebody else's name, and you go get on the county and you're getting food stamps and EBT and cash and Medi-Cal, you are stealing and beating the system. And you're making it bad for somebody who really needs it, who has the paperwork and has an ID. I mean, it's crazy. So, people, Irene said, so more people should apply, compassionate people. Yes, compassionate people should apply. Yes, you should. People who want to work a full-time job and get overtime should apply. People who don't mind traveling around the United States, because like I said, this job, as a Border Patrol, is all over the United States. It's not. It's in Texas. It's in Canada. It's everywhere, okay? And this is becoming a major problem, and it's going to take on an ugly face pretty soon if the wrong people get in office. If the wrong people get in office, and you guys already know who I'm talking about, this is going to turn into a very, very ugly situation. It's already a bad situation. And it needs some major attention. With that being said, I want to just go to Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, what do you think about the illegal immigrant problem, about them crossing over the border, crossing through the rivers and the lakes and whatever way they can get in here illegally? How do you feel about that?
Well, it's I guess I feel like if I was in their situation, so desperate to get out of whatever horrible situation they're in their country, I might do the same thing. You know, people do what they have to do to survive.
I guess, and the question is, would you, when you said you would probably do it if you were in their shoes, but would you do it illegally or would you do it legally?
I suppose it would depend on whatever resources I had at the time.
Okay, that's a good answer. That's an excellent, honest answer. I like that. Thank you so much, Linda Goldie. With that being said, I want to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, what do you think about the illegal immigrant situation that's striking America at its best? I mean, right now, America is upset, and it's out of their control even. The government can't figure out how to remedy this problem. What's your take on this, Talana?
I mean, if they're so against, I mean, what happened to our country being free, the land of the free, per se? If people come over illegally, yes, they should be sent back or deported back to where, you know, the state they came from. But next to that, the people who really come here, who want to affect change and work and become a part of the community and just be at peace with just living their life here, it's okay. And I do agree with that. but they're the illegal immigrants. They I mean, maybe find different programs, but they have some already, like DACA and the ICE that I just heard. But there are things that need to be set in place in order for the Latino and Hispanic community to be able to have access to. So if they don't have that access, they still just come over here without any documents. So mm-hmm. I think there just needs to be more control with the government. And if they don't have control, then we don't either as a community. So that's bad for both.
Wow. Thank you, Solana. That was a very wonderful answer. What we're talking about is a very sensitive subject matter. I know that some Haitians have came over here to America, and they were put back on a boat and sent right back to their country.
Haiti.
I've known some other races to come over here and get turned around and sent back to their country. However, you know, this is a problem in America, and the only way that we can make this a righteous situation is we need the right people in government, as Talana said, to stand up and do their job. Stand up and do their job and not allow an influx and an overcrowded already United States of America. And I don't know if you've seen what they did in Florida, but Florida started kicking illegal immigrants out of their state, even standing guard to make sure. And these are just civilians. They grabbed their weapons and went to the border and stood there to make sure nobody was illegally coming in. Now, whether they shot somebody or not, I don't know. I hope they did not. But what this group is saying, government, if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it because we're not going to have it. Okay, so they're telling the government, do your job. Do your job. With that being said, let's go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence, please take the floor. How do you feel about the illegal immigrants that are coming into America getting false IDs, false driver's license, false social security cards, false medical cards, and they got people that really know how to make these things and make them look so good, you think that they're real? Go right ahead, Clarence. Take the floor. What do we do about this illegal immigration problem?
Yes, Pastor Eddie, you know, our first subject matter was animal rights, and so what we're looking at here, we could be looking at human rights violations on different levels and different aspects, because they are people, you know.
Yes.
But it goes back to what Professor Ream said, you know, that the governments were working on this in different countries. They ceased to work on it. What is the problem in those countries that they're coming from, and what influenced them to come here to think that they can get a better change? There's so much information and situations on the local, state, national, and even the international level. You know, I saw down there they put the buoys out, and people are using these buoys, and the buoys turn and lock you up under the water, and people are dying and drowning. So
yes.
that's another situation. So, you know, what's encouraging so many people to believe that they will have a better and even safer life by coming here, when this is the most violent nation on earth, the more killings in the United States of America than in any other country in the world? And so, you know, they can fix this if they want to. It's just that the governments in those countries that those people are leaving, they need to get busy and fix their problems. The United States needs to fix the problems here. And I'm not just talking about closing down that border and building walls, but when it goes back to what the great Professor Reams, by collaborating with these countries, working with these countries and fixing whatever the situation in for better quality and way of life for whatever country, Venezuela, Mexico, Brazil, whatever, the Bahamas. I mean, I'm trying to think of that small country that President Trump, the small island, U.S. island that President Trump talked so bad about, Haiti. you know, mm-hmm. wherever they're coming from. These problems could be fixed, but in this country, we have like what you call the cold civil war with our politicians here up in Washington and even in every state. So until this nation become united, get together, get to work together on these problems, then collaborate with these countries down there, and if they need assistance, get back to working with them. Until then, people are going to continue to pour here believing that they have a chance, and not all of them are criminals. So when we look at the rise in crime, the majority of the people who's committing crimes is American citizens. There may be some that might be, you know, a criminal inclined, but it's very few. Most of these people want to come here, go to work, and make a better life for themselves. So it's just so many different levels where people won't speak with each other and work together to solve this human crisis.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Clarence, for that information and that statement that you just made. Our topic right now is the illegal immigration problem that's here in America. I want to read something from Facebook Live. Irene Walter said, violations in their own countries, who polices that? That's a good question. You know, I've heard people say, I've read on the news where they were fleeing Mexico because of the drug cartels and different things that were going on there. I can't name them all.
That's correct.
We should build a entry port service building. They have entry port service buildings already. They do. They have them right there at some of the borders where they come in. The problem is that they don't have enough manpower to supervise these places. So while they're coming in legally, you look around on the left and right side, they're coming in illegally and doing things that are completely out of our control. Okay, but here's the deal. Here's the closing remarks on that. Legal is legal. Hear me. Legal is legal, and illegal is illegal. So do the right thing, and you'll get the right response, the right answers, and the right position. If the position is being a legal American citizen, and that's what you really want, then do the right thing. Do the right thing. And it, like Clarence said, we're all human beings. Everybody else from every country is a human being. It's not what you do. It's how you do it. You have rights also. So know how to exercise your rights. You have constitutional rights, human rights. You have your rights. I have my rights. And we have our rights. We the people. Irene said, job opportunity or bigger buildings to process folks. That's a combo deal. They have all, trust me, the government has plenty of buildings to process in. They just don't have enough manpower. And it's a slow process because everybody who comes in to apply, you have to go through a rigorous system which has been set up to make sure that everybody gets the right numbers, social, name, whatever. They have to go through a process. It's a process. And this process can last. I just have a friend who just became a citizen of the United States, and it took them 10 years to become a citizen. And we don't need to say where they're from, but thank God they finally became a citizen. So with that being said, we're going to move on from that topic. And I think it was an important subject and topic to talk about. And I just want to get a yes or no from the panel right now. Professor Reams, was this an important topic to talk about, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. Clarence M. Allen, was this an important topic to discuss today, yes or no?
Yes, sir.
Talana Jones, was this an important topic and subject matter for us to talk about today?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Linda Goldie, was this an important topic for us to discuss today?
Absolutely.
Amen. Praise God. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And Cousin V said, yes, this was a very important topic. I can't wait for the sports report. I'm going to just say this much before we get to the sports report. Deion Sanders and Colorado, they finally got beat, and I mean they got beat real bad. We'll find out more on the sports report. I'm going to leave that right there. But I'm still going to follow them because they're going to play USC this Saturday. And I went to USC, so I'm a USC fan, but I'm going with Colorado. Let's talk about that later. At this time, we're going to start our regular segment of the show. And I want to start off with poetry and motion. And then we're going to go to Words of Wisdom. And then we're going to go to Regulate the Manual. And then we're going to go to the Sports Report. And then we're going to go to the Sports Report. Then we're going to go to Regulate the Manual. Then we're going to go to the Commentary. So you don't want to miss any of these segments of our show. Let's start off with Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, please take the floor. Give us poetry and motion.
Okay, well, I wish I'd have chose a shorter one, but this is the one I chose. A child. When I was a child, my dreams were wild, like climbing up a mountain. But at the wishing well, every coin that fell kept dancing in the fountain. How I yearned to be, diving in the sea, to see the creatures swimming. And in the darkest cave, my little light was brave, to dream a new beginning. Now I'm old and worn, wish I wasn't born, to see a world of trouble, where the wars don't quit, nothing seems to fit, and punishment is double. People with no home, forced to flee alone, and leave their love behind them. Nothing seems to fit when you're part of it, and no one cares to find them. Now I cry to God because I know I'm flawed, and dreams are not sufficient. At the end of rope, there's little hope when you are deficient. Will he rescue me, or just let me be, stewing in my juice? No, I pray he'll see what I want to be, and he never will let loose.
Hey, man, let's give her a big hand. Thank you, Linda. Thank you for that poetry right
there.
Linda, that was really nice.
Well done.
Wow, wow, that was a good point. With that being said, it is time for Words of Wisdom with Talana Zion Jones. Talana, take the floor. Please give us words of wisdom.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome again. This is Words of Wisdom. Today, I want to, first of all, give a praise report. I have the privilege of speaking with my mentor. I have two mentors now, Professor Rings, God bless you, and also Lunette Mia Evo Gray. She is the author and writer of Lord, Why Did You Make Me Black? She took me on and gave me some homework, you guys, to flip the poem that I wrote called Broken But Still Works. And what I did not know is that she posted my poem, both versions, on Poetify on Facebook. So I wanted to share this with you guys, and I pray you enjoy. So I'm going to read both versions, and I hope you love it. So it reads, broken but still works. Broken crayons still color. Broken dreams still have vision. Even though bones break, they do rejuvenate. Broken notes still have music. Words broken down to tell another truth still have meaning. Broken hearts can still love. Even when strength is broken down, God finds a way to bring us back up again, to stand up for all who have been broken but still work. Remember, you are worthy. Even though things do not appear to be sunny right now, cloudy days do fade away eventually. And this is the second part. It's called Still Works But Broken. This is how Runette fixed. Well, I want to say she wrote the poem backwards. So it's the same wording but different version. So remember, you are worthy. Even though things do not appear sunny right now, cloudy days do fade away eventually. Broken hearts can still love. Even when strength is broken down, God finds a way to bring us back up again, to stand up for all who have been broken but still work. Broken notes still have music. Words broken down to tell another truth still have meaning. Broken crayons still color. Broken dreams still have vision. Even though bones break, they do rejuvenate. God bless you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kwana.
Excellent job.
Really nice. Can't wait for your book to come out, Kwana. With that being said, we are ready for something extremely, very important. And it is called Regulate the Manual. And you know what? It's getting close to Halloween. And when it gets close to Halloween, I hope we're going to hear something about the haunted soul, brother. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Give us Regulate the Manual.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Especially thank you to all our wonderful listeners. And thank you to our special guest, Jasmine, and our panelists. Haunted stories and scary tales are usually told as haunted and frightening events of monsters, creatures, and urban legends that people of all walks of life share and can relate to. They begin early in our childhood, and they can last until we reach far into our adult years. We all share in these fictional and non-fictional tales or stories of monsters, creatures, and urban legends of horror and fright. There are hundreds and maybe even millions of frightening, horrific stories and scary tales that have been shared between people throughout the history of time. I believe that as people continue to share these frightening and horrendous episodes, a person's emotions on these stories can become so aroused into the heights of becoming frightening and entertaining all at the same time while oneself go through the experience of a haunting or horrific episode of these tales. Could it be that these emotions that causes many of us to become even more intrigued and curious fill us with the desire to want more and more? I believe we as people will never get enough thrills and chills that arise from these haunted stories and scary tales of monsters, creatures, and urban legends that have come about throughout history and time. Shortly, we will take a journey along with some of the many monsters, creatures, urban legends, along with some ghosts who are known to be the most terrifying and scary. Now is a good time to go find your deepest and darkest place to read while you begin your visit the many haunting stories and scary tales of fright. You can only read about this in the Haunted Soul, brother. So you can find this book on Amazon or go to exlibris.com. That's exlibris.com in order to be Haunted Soul, brother, because Halloween is coming. And sit your family down and take a fright.
Let's give a big hand for Clarence M. Allen. Let's give a big hand. Regulate the
well
manual.
Well done.
Brother.
I like the Haunted Soul, brother.
Well, without further ado, for all you sports enthusiasts, none other, and let's welcome none other. Hey, good morning, Sheila Timberlake. God bless you. Real quick, everybody say good morning, Sheila Timberlake and Virgil Johnson.
Good morning, Virgil Johnson. And
Cousin V is here to give us none other than the sports report. Cousin V, take the floor. Please, give us the sports report.
Forgive me if I kind of go through this a little bit struggling because I'm working Sunday nights. I get off on Monday mornings. And so today I had cable people here, so they kept me up a little bit late. But otherwise, I would have been on here earlier because then I would have got more sleep. I'm 3 hours ahead of you all, so right now it's my lunch time, too. So anyway, I wanted to give you a little bit about the artificial turf versus regular grass.
Uh-oh.
And first of all, I'm just going to say I was listening to ESPN, and you know Steven, he said that the NFL predicted that the NFL would make almost like $20 billion, and they're on the mark for that already, so that they really should take the money and spend the money and get real grass. So it says the new injury data shows grass is significantly safer than turf. Non-contact injuries for the NFL players occurred at a higher rate on artificial turf compared to grass during the 2022 season. The gap rose 1 year after the league moved to neutralize the debate about the two types of playing surfaces based on the 2021 numbers. And I am reading this from ESPN.com so that I don't get the credit for it. Players have long said they prefer grass over artificial turf, arguing it was not only safer but also that it feels better to play on. It's an easy posted to the NFLPA website, so if you want to read more about it. And so on Wednesday, Union President Treader noted that the injury rate on grass surfaces was lower from 2012 to 2020, although the rates were essentially the same in 2021. So my thing is, too, I think they should go to artificial turf. Like I said, I do fantasy football, so y'all go get fantasy football. It is so much fun. So I know Tua got me some points, and all my Dolphins got points for me this week. So because I have most of them, you can pick who you want on your team. But they do go through a draft, so it's fun going through the draft and deciding who you want to be your quarterback and your wide receiver and your kicker and all of that. So like I said, I know they got me points this week. and then DeMar Hamlin, you all knew about him. Man, that was so sad, but it was just a miracle. God was showing he still is in the miracle working business. So DeMar Hamlin, he didn't get to play the first games with the Buffalo Bills. And so I will read up on and let you all know next week where he stands with Buffalo. But we want to still say hats off to him, prayers for him, because, man, to die on the field and be brought back to life in less than a week or right at 7 days, God worked everything out. That boy was in ICU, I mean that man, and now, you know, he's out, you know, doing the work of giving his testimony and helping others.
Yeah.
So now we can go to those NFL scores and the NCAA scores. But first, I'm going to start off, like you said, you wanted to know a little bit about Deion Sanders in Colorado.
Yes.
That contender
yes.
was Oregon. And say, we'll start with this with the obvious. Say this much for Deion Sanders. He knows how to take a punch. He might not always be the greatest winner in the world. Case in point, his comments after his Buffalo's upset TCU in week one, but he was as gracious a loser as you could possibly imagine. When he made his debut as Jackson State head coach, he had already made a number of high-profile acquisitions and ruffled a few feathers among SWAT coaches when he finally got to field a team in spring of 2021. And after wins over Edward Waters, Grambling, and Mississippi State, Valley the Tigers, with a roster that still thin and incomplete, lost a tight game to Alabama State, then got walloped 34-14 against Southern. Y'all, my granddaughter goes to Southern, so I know they happy over there. My oldest granddaughter, Kendall, she's going to be in nursing school there and in the bachelor's degree program. So hats off to Kendall, but yes, and hats off to Southern. So some of the scores in this week four of 14, Michigan beat Rutgers 31-7. Oklahoma beat Cincinnati 20-6. University of Miami, Florida beat Temple 41-7. And Clemson lost to Florida State, Seminoles 31-24. Oregon beat Colorado 42-6. So that's Coach Deion, Colorado. BYU lost to Kansas 38-27. Duke beat Connecticut 41-7. Alabama beat Mississippi 24-10. UCLA lost to Utah 14-7. University of Texas at San Antonio, they lost to Tennessee 45-14. And then Florida Gators beat Charlotte 22-7. LSU beat Arkansas 34-31. Oregon State lost to Washington State by 3 points, 38-35. Baylor Bears played the Texas Longhorns, and the Texas Longhorns ran all over them, 38-6. Penn State shut out Iowa, 31-0. Notre Dame lost to Ohio State. Ohio State got their last points in the last seconds of the game to come back for this win, 17-14 over Notre Dame. Georgia beat UAB 49-21. Missouri beat Memphis 34-27. UNC beat Pittsburgh 41-24. California lost to Washington 59-32. Arizona State lost to USC 42-28. Fresno State ran all over Kent State 53-10. And like I said, hats off to all our college players. And now for the NFL. Man, y'all know I'm excited over here. I just moved to Miami, going. I can see the Dolphins Stadium from every window in my house. Man, what a game that was yesterday. I can't believe a basketball score. So a lot of our fans were saying, are we playing basketball or what? But here's the scores for the NFL. The 49ers beat the Giants on Thursday Night Football 30-12. The Lions beat the Falcons 20-6. The Saints lost to the Packers by 1 point, 18-17. The Chargers beat the Vikings 28-24. The Houston Texans is on the road. The Texans, y'all, they on the road because I remember when Houston went winning no games. They beat the Jaguars 37-17. The Browns beat the Titans 27-3. The Ravens lost to the Colts 22-19. The Seahawks beat the Panthers 37-27. The Cardinals beat the Cowboys 28-16. The Raiders lost to the Steelers, Clarence, 23-18. The Chiefs beat the Bears 41-10. The Patriots beat the Jets 15-10. The Bills, Buffalo Bills, that's who the Dolphins play next, so I can't wait to see this game. But the Dolphins beat Washington. Washington beat the Dolphins a few weeks ago, so they beat them 37-3. Then the Dolphins, man, what a game. Their score was 70-20. And then, like I said, the New Orleans Saints, I think I said them, I wait, lost to Green Bay Packers. So on Thursday night football, tonight, Monday Night Football, it will be your L.A. Rams versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And then on Thursday night, it will be at 8:15 in Eastern Time, it will be the Lions and the Packers. And then next Sunday, to start out all the games at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, it will be the Falcons and the Jaguars. This is my sports report, and have a blessed week.
Now,
I saw Sheila Timberlake. She showed her picture at the Dodgers game. So, hats off to you, Sheila.
All right. Let's give a big hand for the sports report. Big hand for the sports report.
Yeah. Well done, Cousin V.
Now, hold on. Cousin V, let me ask you a question. Isn't it two games for the Monday Night Football tonight? Isn't it the Eagles versus the Buccaneers tonight? Two?
Yes, I did see that. Yes, it's the Buccaneers and the Eagles at 7:15, and then at 8:15, the Rams and the Bengals. So you get a doubleheader tonight. So you choose. I think I'd like to see the Rams and the Bengals.
Hey, man, it's going to be a good game.
I think that's the Eagles, too.
Hey, man, it's going to be a good game. Now, we're going to go into the sports We are leaving the sports report. We're going into the commentary. We're going over, so we want to have plenty of time for the commentary, so you don't want to miss this. The commentary will start with Professor Reams, and we are all getting into You're all getting into the vehicle so that we can begin to take off in a little while, but we're not going to leave. And we're not leaving, and we're not going to shut the trunk. We're not going to close the doors and roll up the windows and start the engine until we get the commentary. So without further ado, let's open up the floor for none other than Professor Reams. Please bring us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, thank you for all of ours 15 minutes of fame on the wonderful program of the Blog Talk Radio program. It is always, always an honor to be on the show. So thank you again, Pastor Jones. I will also add in my thank yous to all of our wonderful panelists and co-producers as well. So Cousin V, great hearing the sports report as usual. And you hit every area, including the games we should be looking at for tonight. Clarence Allen, our prophet corner, the regulator, thank you for the haunted soul, brother. I'm still jittering from the terrifying thoughts that you've shared. But, of course, it's Halloween, so it's a good way to segue into that. A wonderful shout-out to Dr. Granny V. Jelana once again knocked it out of the ballpark with two of the poems, and thank you for the wonderful shout-out. Both versions are superb, you know. To definitely publish both of them if you're able to do that. To Melanie Aubrey, a shout-out. Dr. Aretha Jones, Adams, a shout-out. And to Linda Goldie, thank you. I've got my hug. And to our wonderful guest, Jasmine McCammon Rogers, as well as our usual shout-out to Sheila Timberlake and Virgil Johnson. So thank you, thank you, thank you. A wonderful show. So the show began with the idea of the results and the review of the writer's strike of the AI. And, of course, the idea that comes from that is the idea and the notion of AI going to be changing the world, as it's already been doing. It has also, this is a topic that we're faced with in higher education, on what can we do if we have students that are writing their papers via AI or not writing them. It has been considered almost an offense and is also considered as bad and is considered plagiarism. So this will be an interesting challenge that we have, but kudos to the writer's strike because it goes back to the idea that when it comes down to it in our society, people still make the difference. And to have artificial intelligence, this is going to be a challenge we're going to have because we want to make sure everything is genuine. We then moved to the animal sanctuary, of which we have the wonderful guest of Dr. Jasmine, as we're calling her, the spirits to be free. I will get to that later. And then we moved on to the immigration process that's going on currently. Now, with the immigration, let's remember something else. The situation is that we're in a political year. There's a lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of talk. So everyone, please, 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 read over, do your research, but also don't get caught into the rhetoric that's going on because then it's trying to insult, it's trying to shade, it's trying to give ill feelings from one party to another or who's not doing something. This is a human rights crisis issue that we all need to be a part of and be invested in. No one party can resolve it. No one government action can resolve it. This is a collective thing that we need to work together, as the regulator mentioned, that we need to solve. It's just one of the tapping points that the good Lord reminds us of when he sees that we're not doing something that we should be doing, especially since it's dealing with a human crisis as people who are human beings just trying to escape a situation. And, of course, we've had the situation that if we were in the same circumstances, what would we do? And, again, it comes down to it depends, but I know that deep down survival and seeing your loved ones in a bad spot, you would do anything to help them in some way, shape, or form. But, of course, let's remind ourselves that legal is legal and illegal is illegal, as Pastor Jones reminds us. So while we may have the compassion, we also have to be good stewards and follow the law overall because that is exactly what we must do. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, render unto God what is God, but God expects us to be good stewards and follow the rules. So as we are looking at these issues, the haunted soul brother reminds us all the terrifying things that we're dealing with. Exploitation, human exploitation. The fact that we don't get along with each other, the fact that we're always pushing or hitting on us, or we're using racism, we're using sexism, we're using whatever it is to hate amongst each other. And it becomes almost a shouting cry where you get pulled into this cesspool of ill feelings, that your ability to be compassionate, to show humanity, to be loving, gets compromised. However, the good Lord always does something which is, for the word of the week, auspicious, promising of success, something favorable, something that when we're on the tipping point, that brings us back from the abyss and reminds us of who we are and whose we are. And that is, we had our speaker of the animal sanctuary, Spirit to Be Free. And in that, just by our conversation alone, we reminded ourselves of how connected we are. Yes, some of us think we're all down the back of chips, but when it comes down to it, we are a species no different than any other. But we are also have been given a wonderful gift from God, the authority. And the word dominion is always a negative thing because it means to rule. But in this case, as a gift given to us, the Lord expects us, when we talk about ruling over the planet, when we talk about dominion, it doesn't mean mistreatment. It doesn't mean exploitation. It doesn't mean hate. It doesn't mean harming any of our fellow species, our fellow that we share with this earth. What it means is that when we rule, when we're looking at all the things that he's given us, we have to use compassion. We have to make sure that we are not mistreating and that we are fair and that we are loving. So when you're looking at that abyss, when you're looking at trying to get that redeemer, or as our psalm says, Lord is my rock and my redeemer, simply look at your pet partner. Take a look at that wonderful, beautiful gift of God I call my four-legged babies. Think of how they love you unconditionally. Think of the care that it brings to you. Think of the joy just sitting with your pet partner does. And think of how you would do anything to protect that partner's life, because it is also protecting your life as part of our covenant. The same way that God is protecting us with our covenant, that he will never leave us, never forsake us, and will always be there when we need him the most. And when we do that, the issues dealing with AI are going to melt away. The issues dealing with why we're striking is gone. The issue of why we're having such a human crisis of immigration diminishes, because what it means is we are celebrating life, the gift of loving, the gift of protection, the gift of privileges, and the gift of forgiveness, because as Talana mentioned in her poem, a broken heart can still love. There is nothing we cannot do when we have the love of God, the love of ourselves, and the love of our fellow friends and species and whatever you want to call them as we move through our journeys together. Mm-hmm. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Johnson.
Wow, let's give it up for the commentary.
Professor Rain!
Professor Rain!
Yeah, wow, man. Ooh-wee. Man, you knocked that out of the park. Man, that was knocked out of the park right there. What a commentary. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. I want to close out with a prayer on the show today. Whatever your prayer request is, I want you to lift it up right now. I don't care where you are. If you're out there in Oregon, if you're in Montana, Texas, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, wherever you are in Hawaii, wherever you are right now, Sheila, lift up your prayer request right now. Virgil, lift up your prayer request. Everybody on Facebook Live, lift up your prayer request right now. First Lady Wiltz and Pastor Charles, all of you guys, lift up your prayer request right now. Irene, Mary, lift up your prayer request right now. Everybody on Facebook Live, everybody on Blog Talk Radio, Heavenly Father, we have so many things that are going on right now. But God, when we went to sleep yesterday evening, whatever we couldn't get done yesterday, you woke us up this morning to give us an opportunity to get it done today. God, I ask that you bless Sheila Timberlake with her thing that she has going with her husband, and they will let him do his paperwork and get him right so that he can come into the United States of America the right way. Lord, I also ask that you bless Linda Goldie and Clarence M. Allen, Talana Jones, Aretha Adams Jones, all of the Clarence M. Allen, also Linda Goldie, and everybody that's on this line that put up a prayer request right now, including myself, me and my wife, Jasmine and her husband. Thank you, God, right now for what you have done, and thank you, God, for what you're going to do. God, we ask for restoration, rehabilitation, rejuvenation in our mind, spirit, body, and soul. God, if we've done anything wrong in thought, word, or deed, we ask that you forgive us right now. And Father, I want to close out this prayer with the scripture of the week. The scripture of the week in the name of Jesus. Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. And it reads, "The words that are coming from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all get an amen and a hand clap? Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Now we want to send a shout out to Cousin V and her new friend, Paul. God bless you guys. I hope you stay together forever. I want to send a shout out to my cousin Irma down in Chicago. God bless you. I'm going to call you right after the show, cousin. I got you. And I want to tell you these three things. Number one, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Number two, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Number three, last but not least, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Hallelujah. With that being said, I just want to share this with you right now. Oh, my gosh. Lord, do it for me. Oh, Lord, do it for me. Oh, Lord, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. So, Lord, do it for me. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Lord, fix it for me. Oh, Lord, fix it for me. Oh, Lord, if you don't do it, it just won't be done. So, Lord, fix it for me. God bless you. God keep you. Love you. And I'll talk to y'all next week. God bless. Keep your head up. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. This is the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Peace.